has identified himself as an Islamic soldier who pledged allegiance to a terrorist organization which was bent on killing Americans. He does not represent the religion of Islam, but a perverted view which, based on what we know today, was inspired by extremist killers. We currently have no evidence that he was directed by a foreign terrorist group, but was radicalized domestically.
All right, we might be asking our guest about some of those statements, but in the meantime, we're going to get up to speed on what's really happening. Dr. John R. Lott is the president of Crime Prevention Research Center. He's a world expert on guns. He's a world expert on terror, and he is our guest live from Seattle. John, thank you for making time for us.
No, thanks for calling.
It's a difficult time in America right now. We're debating it on the Senate floor. We're getting into a war of words, and we're talking about guns and terror. The president himself, John, had said not long after the shooting, the very same day, that it shouldn't be an either or, it should be an and both. But yet, whether you agree with that or not, we'll take on. We'll also talk about some of the real statistics, that things that we don't know about guns and gun control and gun laws. But the interesting thing is that today, John, it is not a debate about terror and gun control. It's just turned to pretty much gun control. Is it, would you see it the same way?
Yeah. I mean, the bizarre thing about today is that none of the four bills or the amendments, I mean, that are being considered would have impacted the attack in Orlando. They wouldn't have changed one of the mass public shootings that we've seen during the Obama administration. They wouldn't have changed any of the ones over the last couple decades.
Let me ask you, because a lot of us hear that, but we want to know why. Why?
Right.
And that's why we're in talk radio, because we can ask those questions. On television,
sure,
you can say that, and that's great. But here, we have a little more time. Let's ask why. Why would those bills, why would these amendments not impact the shooter that shot up and killed 49 people in the Pulse nightclub? Why would it not have impacted some of the other mass shootings we've seen in our nation?
Well, they're basically two bills being offered by the Democrats. One would say that anybody on the terror watch list or on the no-fly list would be forbidden from being able to buy a gun. Another one deals with private transfers of guns, that background checks have to be done on those. And the thing is, for the first one, the Orlando killer, Mateen, wasn't on either the terror watch list or the no-fly list. No one who's been engaged. The San Bernardino killers were not. The Fort Hood killer was not. The Chattanooga killer, ones who basically were committing these murders in the name of ISIS, nor anybody else was on either of those two lists. One can go and talk about the problems with those lists, that they include a lot of people that nobody thinks is even remotely related to terrorism. But,
yeah, and why is that?
That
I think I don't really want to put that aside, because this is
we can get to it eventually. But
okay, we'll get back to that. We'll dial back to that.
Your first question here is why isn't it relevant for these attacks?
Indeed.
And so, you know, that's a pretty simple answer for that. And then the second one is background checks for private transfers. The thing is, none of these guns that have been obtained during the entire Obama administration, not just the Orlando one. The Orlando one, the person went to a gun store and he bought the gun there, and there was a background check that was done. So the individual passed that. So you could go and pass a bill on private transfers of guns going through background checks. It wouldn't have mattered. You know, even the ones... We have had a number of states, the Oregon shooting last year, the Colorado shooting, the California San Bernardino shooting. All those occurred in states that already have background checks on private transfers. It wouldn't have mattered in those cases anyway. The people all had obtained their weapons legally in those cases. So I'm not really sure what the point of either of those two laws are. I mean, one can say, well, maybe in the future. But here's the problem generally, and that is, if you really believe that these guys who are planning these attacks 6 months or 2 years in advance, even if somehow it would have stopped them from legally getting a gun, does anybody really believe that it would stop them from illegally obtaining a gun?
Well, some things we need to look into that I'm concerned about is that we can have high efficacy in our gun laws. But when we have an open border to the south, we don't know what's getting through. We don't know what weapons are getting through. We don't know who's getting through. That seems to be a problem. And there's no laws that are being debated in Congress right now that are going to help that issue right there. I mean, there are some things that we really need to take into consideration. And there is should be a concern, no matter where you are on the gun debate, about even the president saying that, well, there's no other country, there's no other developed country that this is happening in with this kind of frequency. And yet we're number 12 on the list of frequency by mass shootings. So,
right, but just comparing Europe to the United States, we're number 12. But look, I mean, if you look at the European Union as a whole, their death rate from mass public shootings during the Obama administration is virtually identical to ours. Their injury rate for mass public shootings is twice what it is for ours. And so, you know, and if you look across the entire world, the United States makes up about 4.6% of the world population, but accounts for only about 3.6% of the deaths from mass public shootings. So, I mean, the president, who knows what goes through his mind when he makes some of those claims that are there. I mean, one just has to look at France. France last year had something like 532 people killed or injured from mass public shootings.
And think about this. If you haven't learned this from last year's attacks,
right,
citizens don't have guns. In fact, most police officers don't carry guns in France. So as we take on this issue with Dr. John R. Lott, it's such a pleasure to have you with us. These are some of the things we need to talk about, no matter where you are on the gun debate. I will say again, too often in our nation, John, we come up against these issues and we have a hard-nosed folk that say this is settled science, this is just the way it is, and without clear and independent, intelligent debate, we don't seem to get anywhere.
Right. Look, I mean, you're bringing up a very important point, and that is whether civilians are able to have guns for protection. In France, you had people that would be taking videos with their cell phones from 12 yards away as the terrorists would be walking by them. But there was nothing that they could do to try to stop them.
Man.
You know, the amazing thing here is we're spending all this time on rules that will have no effect on any of these past attacks, and yet there is a simple thing that we could deal with that we know would matter, and that is these gun-free zones. You know, it's just an example of your point about whether civilians are able to defend themselves or not. The attack in Orlando, you name it, these attacks have been occurring where general citizens aren't allowed to have guns for protection. San Bernardino, the Planned Parenthood attack, the community college in Oregon. If you look at all the mass public shootings since at least 1950, with just three exceptions, every single one has taken place where general citizens have not been allowed to have guns for protection. And these killers purposely seek out those places. You know, just a couple months ago in Detroit, you had a father who was very concerned about his son's interest in ISIS and had told the FBI about it. The FBI put a tap on his phone. And there's an amazing recording of him explaining how he was planning to attack one of the largest churches in the Detroit area. He'd already gotten weapons for it earlier. And the reason why he picked this church was twofold. One, they had a very large congregation that showed up every Sunday. And two, he had checked, and it was one church in the area that explicitly told its members that they were not allowed to go and bring permanently concealed handguns on church property. And so this guy was saying on the telephone call, this was a perfect place because he knew then that the victims weren't going to be able to defend themselves. It was a little ways away from the nearest police station, so it would be a while before any police could arrive, and he would have unfettered ability to go and kill people there. But it's just not that. I mean, you see this happen time after time. The Charleston church shooting, the diary that came out last year from the Colorado Batman movie theater shooter. These people, again, make similar statements. The Charleston church shooter was originally going to go after Charleston College, but decided not to when he looked into it and saw the armed security that they had there. The Batman movie theater shooter, his first target was going to be Denver International Airport, but when he investigated, he saw the armed security and realized he would be killed. And then he scouted out the movie theaters. There were 7 movie theaters in the area that we know he visited. He picked the only one of the 7 that banned permanent concealed handguns. The Lafayette movie theater shooter last year picked the one movie theater that banned permanent concealed handguns. You go the year earlier, you have cases like the Santa Barbara killer or the Canadian New Brunswick killer, who clearly made statements raising points about gun-free zones. And so, you know, at some point, I don't know how we can avoid talking about these killers going and consciously picking places where they know nobody's going to be there to stop them, or at least it will be a while before somebody shows up. But we're not dealing with that. Nobody put up legislation to try to get rid of these gun-free zones. You know, and that's the thing that bothers me. I mean, Trump has been the only person out there talking about this type of stuff, but we haven't seen.
All of us should be. I mean, we're this hard divided partisan aisle splicing country. We silence the opposition, we hush all facts. And so people, I mean, it used to be that folks who disagreed adamantly on the subject could still debate the facts, look at the facts. Now we want to stop all the facts. We don't even want to go there. And what we should be concerned with is there is a movement in America, and we broadcast to a faith-based listenership. There's a lot of faith-based folks that listen to this program, and you may be one of them as you're listening today. And there has been a movement, John, in America since this shooting that says that, you know, all of this shooting that went on in Orlando, blame it on the Christians because of their hate-mongering and how they support legislation to keep transgenders out of bathrooms. And so I say that because in relation to the gun laws, we have a watch list that we promised we'd dial back to. So this is our final minute here. The watch list. What if you happen to be a Christian pastor and you know they think, wow, this guy's dangerous because he doesn't think transgender people should be using little girls' showers. Then he gets on the watch list, unbeknownst to him. See, this is the danger in this watch list. Who is this? Arbiter of all knowledge that gets to decide who's the bad guys and who's the good guys without due process.
Right. Well, I mean, due process is important here. I don't think most people realize how different names get on these lists that are there. But
no, we don't. That's the whole problem, the whole point. John, actually, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for joining us. You've been on our program before, and I hope this will not be the last time. It is always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. People can find more at our website at crimeresearch.org.
Exactly what I was going to say. Crimeresearch.org may be a place you want to visit as this debate continues. Crimeresearch.org. Dr. John R. Lott, he is the author of quite a few books, including The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. I'm Michelle Mendoza, coming up live from Seattle. Some good news for your Monday blues. Live from Seattle, 820 AM, KGNW.
You found the right spot for Live from Seattle with Michelle Mendoza. We'll be right back.
I just got good news.
Time for more Live from Seattle with Michelle Mendoza.
Do you like that? That's Mitch singing there. That's good. He's like, no.
I wish.
Today we're sharing, not like we do every Monday, good